from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. And welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It is good to see you here. Apologies that we are about 5 minutes late in starting worship tonight. As you could probably tell from the screens, we were having a few technical difficulties. Windows needed to update, and Windows updates whenever Windows wants to, so we had to wait for that. Oh, and look, it's back off. Well, you know what? That's why we have hymnals. So to guide our worship, we will be using setting 2, so you'll need to get out the blue hymnal. That's going to begin on page 172 in the front. That will guide our worship, and if we can get the computer back, that's great, and if not, that's okay. We'll go old school. We're getting toward the end of the church year, and normally toward the end of the church year, we take a couple Sundays to focus on the end. And that's what God's Word is going to do for us today. We will be reminded that Jesus, our Savior, has authority to judge, and He's going to use that authority on the last day. But that needn't alarm or frighten us. No, for us believers, that is a wonderful thing. Setting 2 in the front of the hymnal, page 172, and we'll begin our worship with hymn 971, God, We Praise You. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 3, and 4 of hymn 971.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertle will bring us the message from God's Word. Join us now in singing hymn number 971. God, We Praise You.
please stand? Page 172. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated. First reading from God's Word chosen for today is recorded in the prophet Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here through the prophet, God is foretelling a time when the dead will be raised and judged. Then at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands over your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress that has not happened from the first time that there was a nation until that time. At that time, your people will be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, many who are sleeping in the dusty ground will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame, to everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who bring many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 16b. If you would like the music for that, check the Gray Psalter book, not the blue hymnal. The Gray Psalter book, and really looks like you'll need that now. The Gray Psalter, page 67.
Thank you.
28. This is going to be the basis for the sermon. For Christ did not enter a handmade sanctuary, a representation of the true sanctuary. Instead, he entered into heaven itself, now to appear before God on our behalf. And he did not enter to offer himself many times as the high priest enters the most holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the climax of the ages in order to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for people to die only once, and after this comes the judgment, so also Christ was offered only once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time without sin to bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to John chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I tell you, a time is coming and is here now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, but those who practiced evil will rise to be condemned." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, 488, "The Day is Surely Drawing Near."
Thank you.
from God our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is the second reading that we heard, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Dear friends, little Johnny couldn't wait. His birthday was just a couple weeks away. His parents had told him that they were going to have a party for him, and all his friends and family were going to come over to celebrate his birthday. It was going to be a day of fun and games. His friends and cousins were going to stay overnight. And then there was the part that little Johnny was looking forward to most, obviously, the presents, right? He was so excited. But there was just one problem. It wasn't here yet. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and it may as well have been an eternity to little Johnny. Mom and Dad had already bought and wrapped the presents. The invitations were sent out. The people who were going to come had already carved time out of their schedules to come and celebrate. Everything was all ready to go. But for all little Johnny knew, he was frustrated that he had to wait. All he could focus on was the fact that that day that's going to be so fun isn't here yet. And as Christians, maybe we can identify a little bit with little Johnny. We too are waiting for a particular day, but it's not a day that marks another year of us living in this world, but a day on which actually our time in this world comes to an end, and time unending in eternal glory begins. We're waiting not to open some presents, but to receive as a gift from our God that crown of life that the Bible says is never going to perish or spoil or fade. It's exciting to think about. An existence where there's no such thing as death or mourning or crying or pain. Problem is, it's not here yet, right? And it can seem far off into the future. Probably for most, if not all of us, it's years away. And who knows what those years are going to bring? Who knows what kind of trials and struggles that we're going to have to face in the intervening time? Yes, why can't it be our heavenly birthday yet? The letter to the Hebrews gives us some encouragement that even though eternal life seems like this abstract thing that's far distant into the future, the fact is that Christ's salvation for you is yours. It's yours today, and it is yours on the last day. And the people to whom these words were originally written knew a thing or two about waiting. These were the blood descendants of Israel who waited and waited and waited generation after generation for God to bring to fulfillment his promise to send the world's Savior from sin through them. And these Hebrew Christians, they knew the good news about Jesus, their Savior, but for various reasons, they were being led to think that their old way of life in Judaism was better. That their observance of all those Old Testament laws that God had governing the Old Testament nation of Israel, that was the preferable way of life. And so God had the author of this letter write a letter to Hebrew Christians struggling with that. Who this author is, we don't know. He's not named. But what we do know is the message of the letter. And that message is simple. In every single way, Jesus and his salvation our superior. In the verses we're focusing on, we have this author being directed by God to focus on one specific thing, one specific aspect, one specific holiday from the Old Testament called Yom Kippur, or translated into English, the Day of Atonement. This was the most important holiday in the Old Testament Israelite year. If you want to read all about it, you can read it in Leviticus chapter 16. There God gives all the directions for it. It boiled down to this. Once per year, the high priest, there was only one of them, in the Old Testament, the high priest on this day would make some special sacrifices. First, he would take a bull and sacrifice it, and then he would take some of the blood from that bull and take it into the most holy place. The tabernacle and later the temple were divided into two sections. There was the holy place, and then there was the curtain and the most holy place, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Ark of the Covenant is where God's glory was. So he would take this blood of the bull and he'd sprinkle it on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, and well, that day just about everything got covered in blood. Then he'd come back out, and then there were two goats. One goat was selected for the sacrifice by lot. So that goat would be sacrificed, and the high priest would do the same thing. He would take the blood of that goat and go and sprinkle it on the cover of the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. And in this way, God was saying that the sins of the people were being atoned for. To show that, the high priest would then come out after doing that, and then we still had one more goat, and so the high priest would take his hands and he'd put his hands on the head of that goat called the scapegoat, and yes, that's where the word comes from. And he would confess over that goat all the sins of the people. Leviticus 16 says, whatever their evils had been. And then that scapegoat would be taken along with all the sins of the people and led out into the wilderness, never to be seen again. There's some strong symbolism there, right? God was telling his people by that ritual that because of the blood of the sacrifice, their sins were atoned for and therefore removed from them. Sound familiar? The blood of a sacrifice atoning for the sins of the people? God removing people's sins from them as far as the east is from the west? God had this ritual in place to give them a sneak peek, a preview, kind of like a movie trailer, a glimpse of what he was going to do in Christ. So let's walk through again what these verses say now that we have that background information on the comparison being made here. Hebrews 9 says, for Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary, referring to the tabernacle or temple, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we see Jesus really fulfilling two different roles in that Day of Atonement picture, right? First, he's the high priest. He's that intermediary, that go-between between sinful people and holy God. And Jesus doesn't enter the Holy of Holies, which was only a copy of the real thing. He goes to heaven itself. To do what? To represent us and to advocate for us before God the Father. Why does that matter? Well, that's where Jesus fulfilling that second role comes into play. Not only is Jesus the high priest, he's also the sacrifice. He doesn't offer a goat's blood once a year in perpetuity. No, he offered himself, his own body, his own blood shed on the cross. Once for all. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews is essentially saying, my dear fellow Hebrew believers, don't go back. Don't go back to the preview when you got the real thing. Don't go back to waiting for your promised Savior. He's already come. The sacrifice for your sins has already been made. And because of that, your sins are forgiven. Don't run away from Christ and His salvation, because that is yours today. You don't have to wait anymore. And that is the message. That is the encouragement for you and me today, even. No, we are not waiting for our promised Savior to come and save us from our sin by God's grace. He's already done that, and we know it. But we're often like little Johnny, right? Convinced that there's nothing to be happy about today because we don't get to open the present of eternal life quite yet. But don't lose sight of the fact, dear Christians, that salvation in Christ is yours today. The status of being a dearly loved child of God, that is yours today. That's what you are now. And all the blessings that come with that status. God's gracious providence and protection, and His strength for when you're weak, and His comfort for when you're sad, and His hope for when you're disappointed, and His confidence for when you're afraid, His guidance for when you don't know what to do, and ultimately His peace of knowing that in Christ your sin is forgiven and heaven is your home. All of that, Christ's salvation is yours today. And that has lasting implications. This isn't like a birthday party which is enjoyed for just one day and then, you know, it's over and then you got to wait another 365 days for it to come again. The writer to the Hebrews said, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, and as we're reading, maybe we kind of get hung up right there because that sounds kind of scary. Destined to die and face judgment? Our time on this earth isn't limitless. And yes, we do face judgment when our time in this world is over. Does that give me pause? Does that give you pause? Because the fact that we're destined to die once is a reminder of what fact? That I'm a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Only sinners die. If I'm going to die, that means I'm a sinner. And I have to face judgment from holy God. Confronting that reality can bring no small amount of unease. I, a sinner, am going to stand before God and face His perfectly just, entirely right, no excuses, no loopholes, no technicalities, judgment. I can think of the deceptive half-truths that I've told to make someone else look worse than me, or maybe at the very least make myself look a little better. I can think of the terrible things I've thought about other people. I mean, all of my inner thoughts, if they were displayed on a board like that one, because that one's not working quite well. If they were displayed on a board like that one for everybody to see and know exactly what I'm thinking at any given moment, oh my goodness, I would never want to be seen by anybody else ever again. And then there's those stomach-turning desires of my sin-corrupted heart, the hurtful words, the hurtful things, the hateful things that I've said to other people. And that's just a sampling of the things that I can remember. I'm sure there's a whole lot more that I've forgotten about. And I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to pass judgment on all of that. Everything is going to be laid bare before Him. And on the line is where I spend eternity? Yeah, uneasy. Probably doesn't begin to describe it. And I can come up with all sorts of excuses and say, sure, I did my best, but I mean, would that even be the truth? Did I do my best? Or would that be just one more self-preserving, self-promoting lie in a long line of them? I could try comparing myself to somebody else. Well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. But God's not going to judge me according to what other people have done. He's going to judge me according to His holy law. But listen, Christ will appear a second time, not to bear sin because He's already done that, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. God has already carried out the sentence of damnation for our sin. But He didn't carry it out on us, did He? He carried it out on His holy, perfect Son. So this talk of judgment needn't make my skin crawl with dread. It can do the opposite. It can bring excitement. It can bring anticipation. And maybe just a little bit of that I can't wait attitude like little Johnny had. In Christ, you know the verdict God is going to pronounce on you. Righteous. That's going to be His verdict. Because Jesus has taken the guilty verdict away from you. He's taken that Himself, and He served your sentence and mine. Jesus' blood has been shed for us once for all. Your sin is atoned for. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You wear God's own righteousness through faith in Jesus. That's your status today. And that's going to be your status on the day of judgment. Salvation in Christ is yours today, and it will be yours then. So any dread or fear that I may have is replaced with what? Confidence. I look forward to Christ appearing that second time and bringing with Him the end of my sin and the end of all sin, and bringing me and all of His people into His perfect, eternal salvation. It's just a matter of waiting now. But yes, as we wait, we can relate to little Johnny, can't we? Yearning to open His presence on His birthday. Because from our perspective, heaven isn't ours yet. We're not there yet. But in that little example that we had at the beginning here, did you notice something about little Johnny waiting for His presence? His parents had already bought him. They were already his. The time and date of the celebration was set. The preparations were made. It was just a matter of time. And it's the same with you and me. God sees you and me, His believers, as in heaven already. And that's kind of mind-blowing. But in several places in Scripture, it's described intentionally that way. Hebrews 12, just a few chapters after our text, says that believers have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Ephesians chapter 2. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. We have come to Mount Zion. God raised us up and seated us in the heavenly realms. Past tense, referring to completed action. In God's eyes, it's a done deal. No, from my perspective, it's not my heavenly birthday yet, but you know what? From my perspective, it's only a matter of time because it's already done in God's eyes. So until that day, may God strengthen and encourage and equip and empower and comfort and guide us in this wonderful, already accomplished reality. Christ's salvation is yours. Today, every day, on the last day, and forever. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, we confess with sorrow that we have sinned and deserve your anger and punishment. If you kept a record of our sins, we would surely be lost. Yet we also confess with joy that your unfailing love has redeemed us. Our hope is in Christ and in the full redemption that he has accomplished for us, which is our reality today and always. Around us, we do see the birth pangs of the last days: war, famine, earthquakes, false prophets, spiritual apathy. Use these signs to remind us that we do not know the day or the hour when Christ will come again. And so keep us faithful to your word. Send your Spirit to strengthen our faith so that we are always prepared for your Son's return. Make us faithful in sharing your word, and cause many more to put their hope in you before the last day comes. Build our fellowship of love as brothers and sisters in faith, and help us support one another when trials or troubles come our way. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. Heavenly Father, we eagerly wait for Jesus to come again and make all things new. May he find us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, faithfully enduring to the end through the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, and may your grace be with us. Amen. And a reminder that if you did bring an offering with you this evening, to please leave that in the alms box on your way out if you haven't done so already. With that, we will continue our worship with the sacrament on page 183. Would the congregation please stand? It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who preserves his church to the end of time, when he will come again as king to judge all people and take his own to glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord God, you are worthy to receive thanks and praise from all people. You created the world and all who live in it, and in your mercy, you saved us. We give thanks to you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Though in very nature God, he took the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and redeemed us from its curse and penalty. He rescued us from the terrors of death and restored eternal life with you. He conquered our enemies and gained for us the kingdom of grace and glory. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood, and lead us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. Forgive our sins and fill us with the hope of new life in heaven. Hear our praise and receive our thanks as we worship you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. invite to commune and confirm members of St. John's and our Sister Wells and Neelis churches. Please come forward. All things are ready.